You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Locked On Pac-12, where we keep you up to date on everything Conference of Champions. NBA Draft GOAT Chad Ford, Locked On NBA Draft host Rafael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host John Corrales will be live this year covering the NBA Draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each pick. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today and watch our live coverage on July 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Today, I have a special guest joining me to discuss NIL, name, image, and likeness, what it means, how student athletes can best capitalize off of it, and important things athletes should know. I'm your host, Cindy Robinson, Bleacher Report content programmer and former Pac-12 athlete. So joining me now, I have one of my good friends, love her, former coworker, former Trojan as well, Grace DeWitt. She's the founder of Douglas Digital, which is her sports marketing firm. I'm going to give you an opportunity to break down how you even came about to starting a sports marketing firm, where you got the name from, all of that good stuff. But first and foremost, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm excited to be chatting with you.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining me. I was like, this is perfect. It's perfect timing. It's right up her alley. Like, definitely got to have her on. So we're definitely going to jump into NIL, what you do on a daily basis, and, you know, what you're looking, your goals are for the sports marketing firm. And then, of course, your Trojan allegiance, which we can actually start there. When you decided to choose SC, what went into that? Because you're not necessarily an athlete that competed at USC, but you're from Florida. So that's like a cross-country huge jump. What made you choose SC?
Everyone's first question after I tell them where I went to college is like, well, how'd you end up all the way over there? I really didn't think about the distance at all. I'm from Miami. I knew I wanted a school with big time athletics and a serious journalism program because I knew I wanted to study sports, you know, media journalism from the ninth grade. And so, yes, when I got to USC, in my sophomore year, I started an internship in the athletic department doing social media, which at the time was like this fledgling, emerging channel. And it totally, I mean, the internship totally transformed my experience at USC. I have so many amazing memories from being a member of the athletic department, even though not a student athlete. by the time I was getting job applications out for graduation, I graduated in the spring of 2017. My initial intended career path had been sports anchor, sports reporter, but I saw the opportunities growing in social media and frankly shrinking in traditional journalism. And I realized, hey, I have this amazing wealth of experience and knowledge that a lot of people graduating at this point don't have. So I ended up accepting a year-long postgraduate internship with the Saints and the Pelicans, which is, as your listeners probably know, how we cross paths.
Yes.
And towards the end of my year with them, tragically, I lost my father to cancer. And in the process of trying to figure out what I was going to do next, members of the Trojan family reached out to me asking if I had any interest in freelancing or, you know, side hustle, whatever. And I said yes. And after 8 months of freelancing and applying for jobs and getting really far along in internship or interview processes along the way, I realized I was like, I don't have to go back to an office. I am creating my own business and you know, I have a great lifestyle. I'm making good money. I'm getting to do what I love. Like, I'm working in sports, even if it's not with a team any longer. And so at, let's say March of 2019, I formally organized Douglas Digital, which is named after my dad. And yeah, I've been rocking and rolling ever since.
I love that. I love that. Okay. So my first question when it comes to your career, how different has it been working for teams? Because that's literally your background, working for a college team, then working for pro teams, and now working for yourself, but in a sense, working with athletes directly still. Like, how different has that been for you?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's the main difference is really it's two different lifestyles. Like, anyone who's ever worked for a team knows that your job is your life. Like, yeah, you may not be playing, the sport, but like, you are existing in the day to day of the sport the same way that any of the athletes on the team are. And so to be able to achieve the work life balance that I have, that to me is the starkest difference. And I mean, as with any company, there can be, you know, dynamics and politics and whatever that anyone has to navigate at a team as an employee. And to be able to avoid all of that is also really nice too. I feel like I can do more of what I want and bring my full self to, you know, whatever I'm doing with my clients, which I really enjoy. I think they get the most out of me when I don't have like a little lane that I have to stay into, you know, confined to.
100%. Okay. So when it comes to your clients, what is your go-to, or do you have like an array of clients? Is there a certain sport you're focusing on?
Yeah. So I have a real diversity of clients. And so the way my business operates is everyone actually is month to month with me, but I do such a good job for them that month to month turns into several years at this point. But I also do like odds and ends of shorter term projects along the way. For example, when the Super Bowl was in Miami, I had two different, you know, month long projects around that. But yeah, I work with athletes, I work with agents, I work with college football trophies, including the Law Impact Trophy, which is based, you know, the only major trophy based on the West Coast. So that's our little Pac-12 pride there.
There you go. Love it. Love it. Okay. So coming up, Grace and I are going to dive into NIL. She's going to give some tips to people possibly about how they can, you know, take advantage of this and if they're interested in working with her. But let me tell you about Built Bar before we get going. If you're looking for the best tasting protein bar out there, Built Bar is the one for you. Built Bar comes in 9 delicious flavors, a little something for everybody, from coconut to coconut almond. If you're more into the fruity flavors, they have cherry and raspberry. And then obviously for our chocolate lovers, they have mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. Literally something for everyone. I'm more of a salted caramel type. The best part about Built Bar is that it's healthy. That's right, tasty and healthy. Each bar has about 17 to 18 grams of protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and low in carbs. That's 9 amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Okay, so Grace is here with me to talk NIL. This is like a crazy time in sports, collegiate sports specifically. The Pac-12, I feel like, has a great amount of athletes that
at this point are taking advantage of social media, right? Like a lot of them have followers naturally, whatever the case may be. And now the NCAA has changed rules to give them opportunities to make money off of their name, image, and likeness. When you first heard about this rule being changed, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, so I have been following this development. I mean, honestly, I remember where I was when the O'Bannon decision was made, but in more, recent times, let's say, I started following this in the fall of 2019 when Gavin Newsom signed the Fair Pay to Play Act into law in California. And my first thought was, being the older sister of a now 19-year-old brother, but at the time younger, I was like familiar with how teenage boys think. And my first thought was, all of these kids are seeing dollar signs in this moment, but they have absolutely no idea how to create the money, how the money is going to end up in their wallet. They know they can get it, but they don't know why, how, when. And so I became very passionate about the education component, which that's something that I'm working on right now. But that was my first thought. Like, wow, there's a desperate need for education on what this all means, what the opportunities are out there. And that was in 2019. And the case is, it's still this, like, it's still true. There's still a desperate need.
No, 100%. It's funny because when the news dropped, it seemed like everybody already had deals in place. Like they were dropping, oh, this and so-and-so is endorsed by this, I'm endorsing this, did it, whatever. And I was wondering, like, who was advising them? Because a lot of, athletes either have just family advising them or they sign along with agencies just because it sounds good. In your opinion, like, what would be the smartest way to go about this?
I do think that you definitely need a professional service provider to safely and effectively, successfully navigate this space. Certainly there's an amount that student athletes can do on their own. And like to give student athletes credit, there's probably a lot that they could, the right person who's driven and, takes the time to get educated on this, that there's a lot they could do on their own. But let's just start with, it demands a lot of their time. It takes time to do this. And so for that reason alone, it's helpful to outsource to someone who doesn't have to show up to practice at 6 a.m. 5 days a week. I'm in a position where I've partnered with a client who now is a business partner. She's a sports law attorney, has been a sports agent for 33 years. Because she thinks that we're more effective as a combination of someone who has the brand management and social media marketing knowledge and experience that I do, plus a licensed attorney, because you need someone who can read over a contract and understand it. And she has experience like securing and organizing endorsement deals for athletes. So we just feel like we're the right combo of experience, but
I definitely think you are. You've done a great job so far. I'm sorry. Grace is my friend. So yes, I'm gonna hype her up a little bit, but I do encourage athletes to seek out people like Grace, because not only do they come from a place of wanting to actually help and, like really achieve goals for you, but she knows what she's doing as well. So if you could have your like choice of any client right now, when it comes to that collegiate realm, who would you want?
I don't know if I have a particular person per se, but where I'm really excited about this is the opportunities for female student athletes, which I know has been talked about, but first of all, like I think it's safe to say that women typically are a little bit more, social media savvy, mm-hmm. or at least have like a easier understanding of how to present themselves, which makes them excellent candidates. And while everyone looks at this situation and a lot of people just see a series of pitfalls, I really do think it's important to remember, like, this is about creating opportunity. So I prefer to focus on the opportunity. And I would just love to see women in sports be able to secure compensation that will bring them a little bit closer to whatever their like potential career earnings could be when, you know, relative to male athletes.
No, that's real. As a former student athlete and, you know, someone who, okay, so I ran track. Most of the listeners know this by now if they're continuing to listen. And I always felt a way about this type of thing coming into place, because the way it was explained before is always that, you know, football and basketball, your revenue sports, track, baseball, like those sports aren't going to get much if students were starting to get paid. And that was not thinking about name, image, and likeness, but more so like if the school were to pay athletes, the ones that would really just be getting paid would be, you know, that the football players and basketball players. So just to think like that, like now it's an opportunity for females to do just as much, if not more, than what some of these men are doing.
Well, and that's why I think this model makes the most sense. Like for anyone who doesn't understand the basics, like really important to clear up, the university will not be paying athletes. That is not what these new rules allow. And that being said, because it's not the university trying to divide up, well, who gets a penny or a dollar here based on the amount of money they're bringing into the school, you step away from exactly what you're saying. Oh, well, who's the revenue athlete and who's not? I mean, everyone just becomes a potential spokesperson or influencer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's the perfect time for that. Okay, we're going to continue this conversation. We still have more to go. I have so much more to ask you, Grace. So yeah, we're going to continue this going. Okay, so Grace, right before, you know, we went on break, we were discussing the NIL and what it actually means, how the university isn't paying athletes, for those who have that confused. But what is name, image, and likeness in a total, if you can explain that?
Yeah, so a name is self-explanatory. Image would be like, you know, a photo or video of yourself. Likeness, the example I like to use would be like a bobblehead of someone. So the whole idea is being able to monetize your identity, really, which is something that college athletes previously have not been able to do. But I think, you know, people are thinking of it typically in terms of, oh, well, now they can do sponsored social media posts. And that's for sure going, like, it makes sense for the demographic, it makes sense for the audience, so on and so forth. But I think so number one, a way that people will succeed in this space is creativity, and that extends to a lot of different things. But one example of creativity would be being creative about what sort of opportunities you have to monetize your name, image, and likeness. So for example, that could be hosting a camp. You know, maybe you're the backup quarterback, but that doesn't mean that you can't have a passing academy in your hometown over the summer. And you know, name it after you. maybe it's appearances. So, you know, you can show up. Maybe you go to a local restaurant near your campus and you're signing autographs from 5 to 7. And you get, let's say, for example, the terms of the agreement are you get a cut of that night's sales. Based on, you know, in theory, more people show up to eat that night because you're there to sign their autograph. It also could include, you know, the big budget stuff like starring in a national commercial. Maybe you're starring in a commercial. I'm thinking of how I'm going to butcher her last name, Sabrina Ionescu.
Mm-hmm. Ionescu, yep.
And Chris Paul star next to each other in these State Farm commercials. Well, we could start seeing, like, you know, two different student athletes, maybe from rival universities, starring in a commercial together for some, you know, these big national rivalries. So I guess there's a lot of different ways that this can unfold. And again, I use the word creativity because it's creativity in thinking about what opportunities are available to you. It's creativity in the execution, right? Like, are you going to become just a, you know, is every single post on your social media feed just going to be hashtag ad, you holding a product up and talking about how much you love that product? Like, that's not particularly creative.
Or organic at that.
Yeah, and creative also in terms of what partnerships make sense. Like, you know, I saw a deal, I believe, with the quarterback for Pitt, where he gets a food stipend at a restaurant once a month to take his O-line out to dinner. So, oh, like, that makes sense, you know, treating the O-line. But I looked at that and was like, oh, well, a running back could do the same thing, right? And maybe, like, I'm thinking too, let's say a basketball player who, you know, is notorious for his or her blocks, okay? Let's say a defense attorney, you know, firm says, like, your best defense is us, and it's like a shot of so-and-so blocking a shot or whatever, you know what I mean? It's like, what partnerships are a natural fit? Or if someone has a signature smile, maybe it's like they partner up with Colgate or Crest or whatever. Yeah. Because I think fans want to see these, like, perfect matchups, right? Like, people love when the partnership just makes perfect sense.
Okay, if you're not clear now how good Gracie is at her job, I'm pretty sure she just made that very obvious, coming off the top of her head with multiple ideas in the span of, what, 2 minutes? Like, literally just put her on the spot. She did not know exactly what we were talking about today. I just was like, can you come on the show? We'll discuss NIL. She didn't know I was going to ask her all this. So I just need you to know now, like, that was amazing. Okay. You just pitched yourself to whoever's listening. Okay. It was great. But no, that's a great idea. Like, I think a lot of people just thought of it as, like, a social media, you know, thing, because granted, we all know how crazy social media is right now, how big it is. People are really making that into a full-on career, but there are so many more opportunities out there for these students, and that will come their way if they have the right people in their corner, if they have the right people thinking for them, you know?
Right. Well, and I think, like, so my focus in particular, although, you know, unfortunately I can't name names yet because the pen has not been put to paper, but after this interview, I have a contract to send over to a student athlete, actually, who's in the state of Tennessee. But where I think I can be particularly effective is in South Florida and is in California, because those are where my networks are. Who, you know, who you have on your side is going to be important, and also who they know.
Yeah.
I have a knowledge of the local markets that someone in New York doesn't have.
Right. So that makes a difference too. And I love that you're mentioning how you can still capitalize off of things in a smaller situation. So, like, being in a smaller market, and, like, I know people are seeing, like, these national quarterbacks getting these huge brand deals, and it's like, there's still ways for you to make great money in a smaller space, even if your name isn't as huge as, you know, the next big quarterback. Okay, so Grace, you have been great and amazing, but before I let you go, I have to ask you some Trojan stuff. You know, we're here on Locked On Pac-12. You've had the opportunity to work very closely with the USC football team. So I have to ask you, what was your greatest memory working with them, or greatest game that you remember attending?
Well, I had the great honor, privilege, fortune of being on the field for basically the entirety of the Rose Bowl game in 2017, where we beat Penn State.
Oh, nice.
Like, man, nothing that like that may have been like among the top 3-5 happiest moments of my life. Like it just the emotion down on the field and in the locker room afterwards, like, is incomparable. I remember it all so well. But it also at the same time was just, I don't want to say it was a blur, but like in my head it replays and it's just like I'm wandering the fields with like trying to live stream. There's no service. I'm like hugging guys. People are crying. Then we're all in the locker room and someone's like, oh, like, you know, someone sitting outside the locker room, like, doesn't want to let me in because I'm a girl. And then, like, you know, Tim Tesloan, the famed Tim Tesloan, is like, get her in here right now, like, drags me in, like, cigars are being smoked, you know, champagne's being popped. And it was like, guys, you actually are not supposed to have these things in the locker room. There's this one song that, like, every time I hear it takes me back. It's, Every Day We Lit by YFM Lucci. They were blessed.
Wow.
Seeing that in the locker room and like, I'm telling you, when I put that song on, like it takes me back.
I love that. That's a great memory. Cause like we've had some moments with the Saints and Pelicans that we're like, okay, this is one to remember for sure. But that probably is going to stick with you forever. Like there's an allegiance there as a Trojan alum. You've been there 4 years. Like it just feels different. I already know. All right. And the final one, as a Trojan, how do you feel about the Reggie Bush situation? Do you feel like they need to give him his trophies back?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird how they're like coming up with like everyone's kind of pointing the finger at somebody else to make the situation right. Like, oh, well, you know, that the Heisman Trust was like, oh, well, once the NCAA, you know, restores, and the NCAA is like, oh, well, once, you know, so and so, like everyone's pointing the finger. I don't know. The whole thing about these like the revocations of records and trophies, whatever, is it's like, it all feels pretty ceremonial, right? Like that's still like the historical fact of how he performed. Like, it's not like Men in Black where you're like wiping everyone's memory. It's like, so I don't know, like if that's how much really you're going to assign all this weight to, like, oh no, like it can't be his, like it's his whether he's holding the thing or not, so like just go ahead and give it back, you know.
That's 100%. You're right. I feel like most Trojans feel the same way, like even people that didn't go to SC, I think everyone feels the same way. I don't think anybody is saying keep his trophies away, like that doesn't make sense. Like you said, it doesn't erase the fact that he won and was one of the greatest football players in college history. Like, we're very aware of that, whether you're gonna give him his trophies back or not, but you should. Like, he earned them. He definitely earned them. Thank you so much, Grace, for coming on. I had a great time with you. I'd love to have you back on during the season once things get going. We'll talk football, basketball, whatever the case may be. I'm wishing you all the best of luck with Douglas Digital, and we'll make sure we keep up with you and see all the great things you're doing. So yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on the show.
If you're interested in working with Grace or just following along on her journey, you can follow her on Twitter at @just_dewitt13. And that's at @just_dewitt13. And you can also check out her website at www.douglasdigitalmarketing.com. And then you can email her at grace@douglasdigitalmarketing.com. You can definitely keep in touch with her, reach out to her if you have any questions about this NIL or sports marketing in general. Then also make sure you listen to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey, featuring analysis from the GOAT of NBA mock drafts, Chad Ford, and Odyssey NBA experts Brian Scalabrine and former general manager Ryan McDonald. Our Locked On NBA local experts will make selections and trades for your favorite basketball teams throughout this week-long special event. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And you can also follow Locked On Pac-12 on the Odyssey app or follow along on Twitter at @L_Pac-12 and @_CindyRobinson. As usual, make sure you stay locked on the Pac-12 on the Locked On Network.